The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Burrow, Love, Tagovailoa, Herbert. Who found themselves in the best situation for early success in the NFL? The answer spelled E-A-U-X. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can answer the question, 888-729-3776. I'll tell you who landed in the best situation coming up in just a moment here on the Will Cain Show. But I earlier ranked the five best weapons groups in the NFL. After the first round of the NFL draft, it went like this here. At number five, the New Orleans Saints. At number four, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. At number three, the Cleveland Browns. At number two, the Dallas Cowboys and their new receiver, CeeDee Lamb. And at number one, the Kansas City Chiefs and their new running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But Jesse from Kentucky thinks I'm wrong. What's up, Jesse? You there, Jesse? All right.
All right, good talk, Jesse.
Sounds like he's not. Thanks for the heads up, Pat.
Hey, Jesse's not there, man.
I appreciate that. Let's move forward. Who found themselves in the best situation? Last night, I'll tell you something. I watched the draft with my family, wife, two boys, and I love it. I do love watching sports with my sons. I do love hanging out with them. You can probably feel the butt coming, and it is. The questions, man, the 20 questions are difficult. At some point in the draft last night, was most likely early in the draft, when Joe Burrow was selected by the Cincinnati Bengals, number one overall, Trey Wingo, or whoever it may be, at that given moment in the draft, was explaining Burrow's connection not just to Ohio, but also to Louisiana, and how he'd earned their love and admiration, and the feeling was mutual. And it was signified by Burrow's changing of the spelling on his jersey for one moment from B-U-R-R-O-W to B-U-R-R-E-A-U-X. I was hung on this moment for 20 minutes. Wait, but why? But how does he normally spell his name? Okay, but why? Over and over, and I love the boy. I love his curiosity, and I love that he wants to understand. But I can't explain that in Louisiana, they like to go E-A-U-X five times and remain my sanity. Do you understand, son, that Jeffrey Okuda is about to get picked up? Spell that one. Spend some time on that, because he's about to get picked by the Lions if we can pay attention here. So there's a mixed bag watching it with your family, which we'll dive back into tonight. Wait till I tell him who Itur Gross Matos is and how you spell Itur. That's coming up later tonight in rounds two and three of the NFL draft. But Joe Burrow was picked number one overall by the Cincinnati Bengals. Tua Tagovailoa dropped, and interestingly, there were no questions about the spelling of his name, to number five in the Miami Dolphins. Justin Herbert, number six, to the Los Angeles Chargers. And Jordan Love, Green Bay Packers, traded up to pick their quarterback. Who's in the best situation to succeed? The answer is almost counterintuitive. If you're picked number one, you're going to the worst team. But I actually think Joe Burrow is perfectly equipped to deal with a difficult situation. I think Zach Taylor is an offensive mind, and I think Burrow is going to see the field first and see success the earliest. Let's walk through this backwards. Love should sit. Love should not play. And Love was not right to be picked in Green Bay anyway. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers wants to mentor him, and I don't think Love will ever, quite honestly, have the reins handed over to him. Dominique Foxworth, ESPN NFL, was on Get Up, and he agrees. It wasn't the right move, and it could actually burn their relationship with the quarterback they have now.
Aaron Rodgers has been statistically about an average quarterback for the past three seasons. So I understand them wanting to make the move. I'm just not sure that the move that they needed to make right now was to Jordan Love. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to let his career be defined by this. He's going to want to go somewhere else and dominate, because I think that's in his DNA, because that's in a lot of great players' DNA.
I agree. I think that Jordan Love, though, will be the one that loses that battle, and should. So I don't think he's set up in a situation to succeed. Let's keep moving from backwards to forward. I don't think Justin Herbert out of Oregon is also ready to start, but his situation may allow for it the earliest. He is physically healthy, and I'm not a believer that Tyrod Taylor is going to be somebody that can hold down that job. For a moment, let's pour one out for Tyrod Taylor, because once again, he gets a job and he has a quarterback drafted at the top end of the first round underneath him, making his situation precarious. That happened in Cleveland, where he had the job for a couple of weeks before they turned it over to Baker Mayfield. Once again, he has it with the Chargers, and they have Justin Herbert sitting on the sidelines. But I think this time, most people think Herbert's not quite ready, and he should wait. That's what I think. That's what Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst, thinks as well.
I don't know if it'll happen week one. Look, I think Justin Herbert has much further to go than Tua does as far as his development is concerned and his ability to really play at a level on the pro level that would equal winning football. Look, I think Justin will be a tremendous, tremendous play action quarterback when you keep things very simple for him and you can cut the defense in half at the second and third level by play action and you have those easy throwing windows to throw into. I think that is the kind of quarterback he will be initially, and he will grow from there because he just wasn't exposed to the same things that Tua was exposed to in Alabama. So I think it's going to take a little bit more time organically for him.
I agree, by the way. The situation might actually be the best. As the caller mentioned earlier, the weapons in Los Angeles at least have to get an honorable mention in my top five weapons in the NFL. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, Hunter Henry. But I don't think Herbert's ready. I just don't. So I don't put him as the best situation for success early. Then we have Tua. My suspicion is Tua is in better shape physically than everybody thinks. But there are many, from Dan Orlovsky to Mel Kiper Jr., that say Tua should not be playing right away. Orlovsky said, maybe even put him on the physically unable to perform list, the PUP list. Kiper said, take a redshirt year. Listen.
Yeah, Kurt, I really believe he needs the medically redshirt. Let that body heal. But he's got to be more aware in the pocket and obviously stay away from trouble. He's got tremendous feel for throwing the football, though it's through progression, so anticipatory a thrower. And the thing about him is he's not accurate. He's precise. He's a dart thrower. So I said what all said, left-handed Drew Brees. They had passed on Drew Brees because of an injury. Now Nick Saban's quarterback, Tua, injured. They don't pass on him. They take him. Now they got to think they got to sit him for a year, build that offensive lineup, and get ready for 2021.
I agree. I think Tua is going to be a good quarterback, as I've said, when it all pans out. He'll be good. I don't know that he'll be a top of the NFL level quarterback, but he'll be good. But they should take their time. Make sure he's ready to go. Make sure he's healthy. Make sure that team is ready. They got a lot of draft picks that can develop while he's developing on the sideline. And then there is Joe Burrow. R-R-O-W, Joe Burrow. Going home to Ohio, to Cincinnati. Now, despite Tua needing the time to heal to get ready, I don't think you have to develop on the sidelines, meaning there are many, and some called into the show yesterday thinking Patrick Mahomes' situation was the one you want to emulate, learn under Alex Smith. I don't believe that. I think there's been a lot of really good quarterbacks thrown into the fire right away who adapt and perform. Carson Wentz did that early. Dak Prescott did that early. I believe you can be thrown in. Now, both of those guys, Wentz and Prescott, were on better teams and thrown into better situations. Burrow's not going to be in the best situation, but they could draft with the first pick in the second round tonight pretty dang good offensive lineman in Josh Jones, who most thought would go in the first round out of Houston. They could begin to help him out, protect him. He's going to have A.J. Green. I think Zach Taylor's going to be a pretty good little mentor for Joe Burrow, and I just think Joe Burrow has it to deal with adversity. I do. I think he's going to be a good quarterback, and I think he's going to find success quicker than we think. Maybe not year one, but quicker than we think. And like a lot of quarterbacks that started early, Troy Aikman, whoever it may be, there's Peyton Manning, a lot of losing and turnovers. Ultimately, the cream will rise to the top. I think Joe Burrow will find success the earliest, and his situation will play to him because he will play the earliest. That's my estimation on who will find success in the best situation. You tell me what you think. 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. I want to take one more minute here, and I want to tell you something. If you're listening, you're probably not just a fan, but a friend of the show in the community, all right? And I don't mean to be overly saccharine about this, but I do have feel like I have emotional connection to you guys. We hang out for 3 hours. We share things deep. I mean, not just shallow, who's better than who sports, but who we are, right? I just did an hour-long podcast with Tom Herman, the head coach of the University of Texas. It'll go up next week. I encourage you to check it out because we shared a lot, more than I expected, more than I probably planned to, about who we are. My point is this. When I do this, when I talk with you, that's what I want. I just want, as you know, truth, authenticity, being real. There's no point in any of it unless we're going to be real with each other. I don't think there's a point in relationships. I'm not a transactional guy. Like, what am I going to get out of this from you? There's just real. That's it. Real truth, real disagreement, real honesty. So a member of what I think is a community of people like you and me that value those things last night is going through something. So here's the thing. Last night I was doing an Instagram live during the draft, sharing stuff like, you know what I'm talking about, like, CeeDee Lamb's going to drop, yada, yada. Having a good time. You can join me. I'm going to do it again tonight. C. Will Kane. C as in cat, Will Kane on Instagram. I saw it in the comments and I couldn't believe it. Comment said, hey, did you hear Dak Prescott's brother died? And I was like, what? And I didn't even have time to process it. And I thought, that's fake news. I can't even trust that. But no. But I mean, I reacted. I said, not Tad. And please, not Tad. And not that it was, one is better than the other, but Tad Prescott, as many of you know, Dak's brother, is a member of our community. He calls in, he listens, and I appreciate him very much. It wasn't Tad, but one of Dak Prescott's brothers did die yesterday. Jace Prescott died at the age of 31. I'm sure it's a massive weight and tragedy on that family, not just for Dak, but a member of our community here on the Will Kane Show, for Tad Prescott. I appreciate Tad, independent of being a fan of his brother, for being a member of our community, for communicating with me like you guys do on social media or on our phone lines. And I just can't send out enough prayers and feelings and support in whatever way that I and I hope we can offer. So my love and prayers and sentiments, condolences to the Prescott family today.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
It's the Will Kane Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. But first, your SportsCenter update. But first, Pat, your SportsCenter update. Get those panties off your head. Take that mask out from your ears.
This is all
Put them on your
fault.
Mouth and hear what I'm saying.
This is Nuno's fault.
I'll have you explain that to me in just a moment after the SportsCenter update. The UFC is moving forward with plans to host a pay-per-view event May 9th in Florida and will hold two additional events within the following week. UFC President Dana White told ESPN's Brett Okamoto an interim lightweight championship fight between Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje will headline UFC 249 event. Dana White says the winner will fight Khabib. Rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL Draft continue tonight. You can watch on ESPN. Listen right here on ESPN Radio. Coverage begins right after the Will Kane Show at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. According to Mel Kiper Jr., Xavier McKinney, DeAndre Swift, Ezra Cleveland, Ross Blacklock, and J.K. Dobbins are the best available prospects heading into Round 2. SportsCenter is brought to you by Nature Valley. If you love Nature Valley sweet and salty bars, you'll love the new sweet and salty minis. It's all the indulgent, savory goodness you know now in a smaller size, and at 100 calories, snacking has never been so sweet. There's your SportsCenter update. Go on ahead. Have your fight. Explain yourself.
So I said during the break, Nuno, when we come back, do you want me to just keep the music that we used during the rejoin under the SportsCenter? He goes, yeah, that's fine. We'll do that. And then you toss to it, and you just didn't say
And it's
say
my fault because I assumed you were listening.
Me?
Yeah, I'm taking responsibility. I assumed you were listening.
Did you have me where I could hear it?
Yes, you were, as we always have it set up during the break, where you can hear the conversations.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, it was Nuno's fault.
Yeah, that sounds suspect. I'm going with it's Nuno's fault as well, Pat. There you go. That's what Nuno gets for attacking me. I made 5 bold predictions yesterday. Let's see how many of them I got right. But first, let me hear. Well, since Pat brought up the music, I'll do this, and then I'll hear from you on the phone lines. Okay, here we go. Bubba, I miss you. Here are my 5 bold predictions. I said yesterday. Number 5, receivers would slide. I said that actually 3 cornerbacks would go before 3 receivers. Save that one because that was another one of my bold receiver predictions. But I said receivers would slide, and I said slide down to 17 or below. The 3 big ones, boom, nailed that one. Nailed it. CeeDee Lamb fell to 17, picked up by the Dallas Cowboys. Nobody thought that would happen. Everybody thought the top 3 receivers would be gone before the Cowboys were on the clock, and nobody thought CeeDee Lamb would be up there. Receivers slide, check mark for me. Number 4, I said quarterbacks would all be gone. The big 3 quarterbacks, Herbert, Tua, and Burrow, be gone by the 6th pick. I further said Tua would be a Miami Dolphin. Boom, check mark. Got that one right. Number 3, I said the 4 big offensive linemen would not fall to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 14. They would not have one of those offensive linemen available to them at 14. Can't give myself a check mark on this one because they did end up with the 4th of the 4 offensive linemen. They got Tristan Wirfs, but they got him at 13. The Bucs traded up 1 pick, so they didn't drop to 14. The offensive linemen did not make it to 14. But they did make it to the Bucks because they came up 1 spot. Do I get a check mark on that? Let me go to the judges, who are not going to be a friendly jury pool for me here. Nuno, Bubba, Pat. I think I might get a check on that, don't I?
Sure, why not? Just make your own rules up.
Okay, thank you.
You were going to give it to yourself anyway.
Yeah, I appreciate that. At number 2, I said 3 DBs would go before 3 wide receivers. I predicted specifically AJ Terrell would go to the Falcons. Everybody mocked that, and in fact, it happened, and 3 DBs went for the big 3 wide receivers. Jeffrey Okuda, C.J. Henderson, and A.J. Terrell were gone before the 3rd receiver was gone, which was C.D. Lamb. Check mark on that one. Boom, I'm doing well. And my last big prediction, my bold prediction, was that the Atlanta Falcons would trade up for a cornerback. They wouldn't sit back at pick number 16 and take them. And X did not get that. They went for their cornerback, but they didn't have to trade up to do it. Not bad, I think. 4 out of 5 for my bold predictions yesterday. Now, let's go to Robin in Orange County, who says, if I've got the Swami hat on, she's got some questions. What's up, Robin?
Well, how's it going, man?
I'm good, bud.
Hey, since you're, seems like you're pumping your chest pretty big on your Falcons pick, which I give you credit for. So I want to see what you can do with your Swami hat and see how you can pick the Rams picks today in the 2nd round. They got 2 second round picks, so let me just see if you can get 1 out of 2 on those. Who would you say they're going to go for, running back or defense?
Wait, if I get 1 of the 2, you give me credit here?
I'll give you credit because I don't think you're going to get both of their 2nd round picks. That'd be a reach. That'd be pretty tough for you to do that, I think.
Okay, I appreciate it, Robin. Here's my 2 predictions. I think they're at 52 and 57. Do I have that right, Nuno? Is that where they are?
That is correct. They have their own 52, and 57 is from the Texans.
Okay. Swami hat for the Rams, 52 and 57. Here's what I'm feeling, hand to the temple. I know you brought up running back, and that would be nice. They did invest in a running back last year in Daryl Henderson. I don't know how much they still believe in him. They got Malcolm Brown from Texas, but I do think they need a weapon at running back. But I think more than that, they need a linebacker. Lost Corey Littleton. I think for one of those picks, they're going to go Logan Wilson, linebacker from Wyoming, who I really like. And I would love it if you dropped in the third round or so to the Dallas Cowboys. He's a tackling machine, Logan Wilson, Wyoming. I like that as well. They could go a different kind of, you know what I ought to do? I ought to just back it up here and I ought to go same position, but a little different since I don't know exactly the philosophy they'll go with. So I'm going to do another linebacker. This one to provide pressure on the quarterback, outside linebacker. I'm going to go Josh Uche, linebacker from Michigan. That's what Matt Miller, by the way, has in his mock draft for the Rams. So those are, I'm going to go either Logan Wilson or Josh Uche to the Rams. For what it's worth, Miller also has a running back with the other pick. He's picking Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin to the Rams. Hope that does it for you. All right, coming up, let's break down what happened last night, what's supposed to happen tonight in the NFL draft with another expert. That's next on The Will Cain Show. We want to remind you, the All-In Challenge, the massive fundraising effort happening among athletes, teams, leagues, and celebrities to help with coronavirus crisis relief. 100% of it is raised will benefit organizations providing food to those in need, particularly kids, the elderly, and frontline workers. Visit allinchallenge.com to bid on or enter to win. So many once-in-a-lifetime experiences and items, and a number of great opportunities will be closing tonight, so you might want to check them out right away. Experiences include a New York Giants game experience with Saquon Barkley. Get on it, Nuno. Winemaking with Dwayne Wade. Get on it, Pat. Or even a double date with Russell Wilson and Ciara. Get on it, Bubba, because you know love's coming this summer for you. So says the psychic. All are closing soon. Again, 100% of the proceeds benefit organizations providing food to those in need. If you want to participate or learn more about how those organizations help, visit allinchallenge.com. Who are the big guys we should all be hoping to land on our team tonight? Predictions for the second and third round next on The Will Cain Show.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you, if only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Tampa Bay is building a powerhouse around Tom Brady. One more move. I've got one more idea. Just do this, and it basically means you're set, man. You're ready to compete for a Super Bowl. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's break down what happened last night with Connor Rogers of the Bleacher Report. He's an NFL football host and Stick to Football podcast. He works with Matt Miller, who's a friend of the show. We're glad to have you on, Connor. Let's talk about last night. It was kind of chalky for a long time. What was the first moment last night where you go, whoa, didn't see that coming?
Man, I would say Damon Arnett to the Raiders in the first round was the big, big whoa moment. I think when you look at this, Will, it was actually a relatively steady first round, which we don't say a lot. It felt like a lot of teams stayed patient, did the right thing. There was a lot of safe picks. I think, obviously, Miami taking Tua, of course, there's risk there, but they were in a position where they had to roll the dice. Everybody kind of knew the Chargers were going to look for a quarterback of the future. So when it was down to Herbert, that really didn't surprise us. I think things got fun in the second half of the first round. I think you look at the Damon Arnett pick, the Jordan Love pick for the Packers. Everyone's going to be talking about that nonstop. So it felt like, you know, and Jalen Reagor to the Eagles. It felt like the second half of the draft is where teams took more risks that we didn't really see coming.
Let's dive in a little deeper to some of those. First, let's follow up on the Raiders here with Connor Rogers of Bleacher Report. So the Raiders, Connor, I mean, it feels like they got a different draft board than everybody else because they're always doing something, right? And it's not even just in the Mike Mayock, John Gruden era. It was before that too. They were always taking guys that everyone else is going, that's off by a round or two. I didn't see a single mock nor anybody projecting Damon Arnett to be even really a second rounder, more like a third rounder. And I don't remember who it was last year. They did it last year, I feel like. They did it way back with receivers before John Gruden. I don't know what's going on with the Raiders, but they're always different than everybody else.
I mean, you're 100% right with that. There's no doubt about that. I think there was a sense around the league that a guy like Henry Ruggs could be the first wide receiver taken because of the desire for elite speed. But it still came a little bit as a surprise when somebody like CeeDee Lamb is on the board, who I thought was a much more rounded out player. And I think we got to revisit the Damon Arnette pick here. This is the one where I'm actually scratching my head a little bit, because you look at it, you think you have somebody like Mike Mayock figured out. You look at last year's draft, it's kind of a consistent theme. He took high floor, high character players. I think half the picks were team captains, that kind of guy. Yeah, Cleveland Farrell seemed a little early when they took him third, but still,
that's
you knew what you were.
That was surprising, though. Yeah,
exactly. That was a surprise. I think the thing that Mayock, and I like Mike Mayock as an evaluator. I think the one thing he clearly needs to improve on is just moving around. You're telling me that you couldn't find somebody to come up and take that pick and get more picks? Because let me tell you something, Will. Nobody was taking Damon Arnette. As far as I heard, nobody was taking Damon Arnette in the top 40 to 50 picks. So that's one where it's a little bit of a head-scratcher. He didn't run well. He's got very short arms. People are throwing around advanced stats, but he also had Chase Young and Nick Bosa pass rushing up front to get home at times. It's a little bit of a head-scratching pick.
Let's go back to receiver. You said some people might have had Henry Ruggs as the number one receiver. That one, I would say that was a surprise for me as well. I didn't see many with Ruggs at the top. I mean, I don't think that's a huge deal, but I do. I am a Cowboy fan, but it's surprising that CeeDee Lamb slid to 17. And do you agree, even though it wasn't a position of need, the Cowboys had to do that?
Yes, I loved it. It was my favorite pick of the night, to be, you know, completely clear with you. I thought CeeDee Lamb was a top five player in this class. I had him at number four overall. I thought he was phenomenal in every aspect of the game. And when people looked to nitpick his game, they were like, well, he might not run well. Then he ran 4.5. A guy that's 6'2", he's going to get his weight up to 210. So 4.5 is flying at that speed. There's no problem there. And then you look at, well, he didn't face a lot of press coverage. So what? He's physical. He's physical in his routes, out of his breaks, at the catch point, after the catch. I just don't have any concerns with CeeDee Lamb. And you look at the Cowboys now, you have three receivers that you feel really good about that are all interchangeable. They could all play in the slot. They could all play outside. Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, now CeeDee Lamb. Those three guys going three wide really takes a lot of pressure off putting defenders in the box against Ezekiel Elliott, a guy you paid a lot of money to be your premier back. You have a good offensive line. It just feels like Dallas is looking around the league, kind of like the Chiefs did, and they're saying, hey, you know, our defense, we got some holes here, but we're just going to outscore everyone, and it looks like they could do that right now.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about tonight with Connor Rogers here at Bleacher Report. I want to talk about the second, third round, but one more question. And again, look, sometimes when I do a radio show, I'm like, just play the hits. Talk about Jordan Love versus Aaron Rodgers. But I love the draft, man. And so I get a little deep in the weeds, but I don't think this is massive. Nuno, who's on our show, who you already spoke to, he's a Giants fan. We all thought Giants would go offensive lineman, and every single, like, Andrew Thomas is a good pick. Everybody said high floor, and that's what you want with an offensive lineman, a guy that you'll forget about, right? He doesn't have to be amazing, just never make me notice you. And he'll be that. But I was a little surprised he went first among the four offensive linemen. Were you?
Yeah, I was. This was the one pick in the top five that I had wrong. I thought it was Jedrick Wills. A lot of people you talked to thought it was Tristan Wirfs, because the Giants did all their homework with the coaching staffs at Iowa and Alabama. And nobody really had Andrew Thomas going there. Now, what I will say is I think this was a fluid situation with the New York Giants. I think a part of it was with the pandemic. All of a sudden, we're looking around and we're going, okay, there's not going to be rookie minicamp. There's not going to be OTAs. We don't know if training camp is going to start on time. You could do all the virtual classroom stuff that you want, virtual workouts. That's not going to cut it. So I think when you look at it, there was two things that really came into play here, Will. Number one, Andrew Thomas, when he got to Georgia, started at right tackle, was a freshman All-American, played left tackle the next 2 years. That really mattered to them. A guy that just, he played in the SEC at a high level on both sides. They don't know if Nate Solder is going to hold up on the left. They're hoping he will. They still had a hole on the right side. If you think Cam Fleming can start the whole season, I'm not there. So they wanted to get a right tackle. So Andrew Thomas can do both. The second thing was, and if you listen to Joe Judge speak, this isn't surprising, they value character now so much. And a permanent team captain in 2019 for Andrew Thomas, that mattered a lot to them. It really, really did. And it's nothing against Tristan Wirfs or Jedrick Wills, who they're still high character players. But I think with Andrew Thomas, being the leader of that Georgia team was the difference here.
Mm. Were you surprised there weren't more trades last night?
Yes and no. So the one thing I talked about, with a pro director in a couple front offices, a couple different pro directors, because those are the guys that make the calls for the GM, is that this was their concern. They were concerned about time. They were concerned about, you know, the relay of communications with trades. So I think a lot of teams had those concerns going in. The second thing was the teams calling, wanting to move up, and there was a ton of buzz about, you know, whether it was Atlanta, Philadelphia, the Browns moving down. Those teams weren't really offering anything. I mean, we saw New England move out, and sure, they collected an extra pick. But when you look at it, the returns were just not high.
What was Philadelphia hunting? We know Atlanta was hunting a defensive back. What was Philadelphia for a different wide receiver than Rager, or what were they hunting to come up for?
I think they were floored when Henry Ruggs came off the board at 12. I really do. I think they thought Ruggs would be there, you know, 15. Maybe you got to jump the Broncos, but not really. They were looking right in that range. We're like, how high do we got to get up to get Henry Ruggs? Where is he going to fall? When he came off the board at 12, it makes your jaw drop, and their next speed guy on the board was Jalen Rager.
Hmm. Okay, last thing with Connor Rogers here of Bleacher Report. He's one of the hosts of Stick to Football podcast. I've got a long list, and I'm sure you do as well. I'm actually excited about how many names are still out there. But if I said, give me your three favorites for tonight, who would you say you're looking forward to seeing somebody pick tonight?
Oh, tonight's going to be better. I'll tell you that much. I'm looking at Michael Pittman. I love his game. I think he's going to come in and play right away for somebody as a number two wideout. DeAndre Swift and Jonathan Taylor would be the other two guys. And sure, it's easy to sit here and say running backs because they always fall. I think Swift is the best running back in this class by far. Pass catcher, inside, outside runner, Jonathan Taylor. We know what kind of athlete he is, straight line speed, power. Both those guys should come in and be premier running backs right away. So if you play fantasy football, if you want some more skilled players on your team, tonight's just going to be really ridiculous in that regard.
All right. Good stuff, man. Enjoyed having you on. Let's do it again.
No doubt, Will. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Okay, it's Connor Rogers of Bleach Report here on the Will Cain Show. So Michael Pittman, wide receiver out of USC. And that call about the Rams earlier looking for a running back. You got Jonathan Taylor and DeAndre Swift. And by the way, J.K. Dobbins all sitting there. Good running back talent. The NFL Draft Weekend Preview is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today. The Bucks are building a contender. More than a contender. They looked good what they got for Brady last night. One more move. I've got it. One more move. And you're set. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
I rank the Tampa Bay Buccaneers weapons group the second best in the NFC after the Dallas Cowboys. But it's not just the weapons they're building into a Super Bowl contender for the Buccaneers. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. You missing baseball? Well, tune in tomorrow for a Major League Baseball Classic. Game one of the 2015 World Series between the Royals and Mets presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Radio and ESPN app. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers sat at number 14 last night. I think the entire world knew they wanted to take an offensive lineman to protect Tom Brady. They'd already signed out of retirement and traded for, with a fourth-round pick, Rob Gronkowski, putting together one hell of a weapon group in Tampa Bay. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, O.J. Howard, maybe Cameron Brate too. They'll probably run some two tight end sets. They got two amazing wide receivers. Ronald Jones is their running back. We'll see if he wins, keeps the job. Maybe they draft somebody. But they needed to protect Tom Brady. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are good at center and good at guard. They're suspect on the outside at tackle. Well, sitting at 14, I said I was skeptical that any of the four big offensive line prospects would fall to the Bucs. That was Andrew Thomas, and he went number four to the New York Jets. That was Mekhi Becton, who went number 11 to the New York Jets. Did I say Jets twice? I meant Giants at four, Jets at 11. And Jedrick Wills, who went to the Cleveland Browns at 10. So would Tristan Wirfs fall to 14? We'll never know because the Buccaneers traded up to number 13 and got the big athletic offensive lineman out of Iowa. Tristan Wirfs will begin the project of protecting Tom Brady. This is where the Bucs should invest. Our boy Nuno, who's a Giants fan, I asked him how he felt about Andrew Thomas being picked. He said, good. I know how it is. You're not ever going to be overjoyed, but I'm going to say something. Drafting an offensive lineman is like buying life insurance. I mean, you don't go home and say, check out my new life insurance policy. Your friends don't come over and you have the framed paper edition of your life insurance policy. No one ever is excited to show it off, but it's there protecting you in case of a problem. And you're really happy when you need it. That's an offensive line. I watched the Cowboys invest in the non-sexy pick of the offensive lineman, Zach Martin, over Johnny Manziel, and on, Travis Frederick in the first round, and left draft day going, okay, that's cool, and appreciated it for years. You hope you never have to think about him again. And so if I was Nuno, I'd be excited. Protect Daniel Jones. And if you're the Bucks, it's priority number one. Protect Tom Brady. Keep him upright. Let him pick teams apart. Let him distribute that ball to those offensive weapons. And that brings me to what the Buccaneers should do tonight. They should send away their next pick to the Washington Redskins for Trent Williams. Josina Anderson and others have suggested that the Pro Bowl offensive tackle who sat out the last year for the Redskins is on the market. The Redskins are ready to make a deal, and what it would take is about a second round pick. The Buccaneers are sitting at number 45. I'm looking at Matt Miller's mock draft for round two, and he has them taking Xavier McKinney, the safety out of Alabama, and he would be a nice player. Their defense would be better for it. But priority number one, protect Tom Brady. If all it would take is a second round pick to put Trent Williams along with Tristan Wirfs and those other offensive lines, and you're going to want depth. But you got your guard. That's a good offensive line. And now you've got Brady in the best situation to succeed. Upright, distributing the ball out to some of the best weapons in the league. That makes Tampa maybe the Super Bowl favorite. Not just a contender, but maybe the Super Bowl favorite in the NFC. I don't know that they'll do it. I haven't heard any rumblings of those veteran players getting traded today. Now's the time to do that deal, and I would do it, Tampa. Go get Trent Williams. That finishes off your roster. I would love it. I said to you earlier, I took down a lot of small notes. I want to do 6 and 6. I got another 6 coming up in the final hour of the Will Cain Show, but I didn't get to the full 6. I brought up at number 5, Cliff Kingsbury. Did you get a picture of Cliff Kingsbury's war room last night? His home in Arizona? It looked like a Las Vegas hotel lobby. Is it possible to be sexually attracted to a picture? It was amazing. I saw somebody tweet, I've never been less straight than looking at this picture. It is Cliff Kingsbury just owning the moment, owning everything, whatever. King of the universe, Ryan Gosling here. It was the best looking thing you've ever seen. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's on the Arizona Cardinals Twitter feed, War Room 2.0. I don't care what Kingsbury's doing from here on out. He's winning. One more small note I wrote down last night. You had both Michael Irvin, because it was a combined broadcast with the NFL Network and ESPN. You had both Michael Irvin and Kurt Warner on the broadcast. And I noticed in the background, Warner has a Lombardi trophy because he won one. And then Irvin has 3 Lombardi trophies. Because, of course, the Cowboys have won 3 during his tenure. But I was curious, like, those aren't the Lombardi trophies. Surely Jerry's kept them in headquarters and the Rams kept theirs. So how does that work? Do you commission a replica? Where do you go to even do that? Where do you get a replica Lombardi trophy to keep in your personal trophy case? I want to know everything about this. I'm oddly, deeply curious about how you get your own personal Lombardi. And does everybody, because Booger's won, what, has Booger won 1 or 2? And he didn't have any up there. So I need any more info on the personal Lombardis in the background. Sal Pal may know. Sal Pal Antonio is up next on the Will Cain Show.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.